Man, this aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the VBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to whiteness.
I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shape.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come
on the
in?
Point of order.
Welcome to another episode of our Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast, the first since the beginning of the lockdown as we approach week 11 from week 10 of the lockdown that started on March 21. Today, we are discussing how our government has been able to handle the lockdown since its beginning, whether they've done a good job, whether they've done an average job, or whether they've completely flopped at their job. Today, I am joined by our politics editor here at the Sunday Times, Mr. Sibonga Gonke-Shoba, and Mr. Apiwe Tikleke, one of our colleagues at the Sunday Times Politics Desk. Now, on the lockdown, let's hear what President Cyril Ramaphosa had to say about why we had to get into the lockdown as we fight this COVID-19 worldwide pandemic.
Without the lockdown, the number of coronavirus infections would have soared uncontrollably. Our health facilities would have been overwhelmed and many thousands South Africans would have died. From the very beginning, our response has been guided by advice from world-leading experts from our own country and from across the globe.
Well, that's President Cyril Ramaphosa telling us the health benefits of the lockdown, saying that indeed a whole lot more people would have died. We know now we've just surpassed the 1,000 mark of people who have unfortunately passed away due to the coronavirus. But President Ramaphosa did indeed say that had South Africa not gone the route of the lockdown, many, much more people would have died. I don't know if my colleagues agree with him. Of course, he does say as well that the whole lockdown was motivated through advice from experts and the scientists in the field of health. Mr. Shoba, let's begin with you and hear if you do agree with the President Cyril Ramaphosa in terms of the benefits of the lockdown. And do you believe that he is correct or is telling the truth when he says that everything that they've been doing in as far as lockdown is concerned had been motivated by scientific data or evidence?
Thank you for inviting me to your podcast. It's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, when government announced the lockdown, that was the intention. The intention was to buy time. They never really told us that the lockdown was meant to prevent the spread of the virus altogether. It was a strategy to buy time so that they can prepare the ground, prepare the health facility, make sure that citizens understand the virus, they understand how to prevent it, the washing of hands, sanitizing, wearing of masks, social distancing. So the lockdown gave them time to do all those things. We're sitting at home, watching TV, listening to radio, and each and every news bulletin was about the virus. And I think now more and more people understand the virus. They understand that how you try to prevent getting infection. And that really has gone a long way in helping us not to reach the peak earlier than it would have happened had we not had a lockdown. Of course, there's been mistakes along the way. They were expected because it's a new virus, and those mistakes have been committed elsewhere as well in other countries. And for us, when government took the approach that they decided to take, we did expect those kind of mistakes to happen as they learn more about the virus, as we as citizens learn more about the virus as well. And I think what we are looking at now is whether government did use that time efficiently, and whether they are ready for the peak. Because now the decision to move us to level 3, the economy is opening up, and more people are going to work, more people are getting on public transport. So what we're looking at now is whether government did use their time efficiently.
Mm, mm, mm. And Mr. Shova, there are some people who believe that on one divide, there are people who believe that the lockdown was delayed or it came too late, and then there are others that believe that it was premature. What do you have to say about those particular two divides?
You can't please everyone. I don't think there would have been a decision that government would have taken that would not have been criticized by any of the stakeholders and political parties. I think that it was the right decision to take, whether it was taken earlier or late. But I believe that it was a correct decision to take. We can argue, sit here and argue about the timing. I don't know how that would assist us. But looking back and looking at experiences at other countries that decided to delay the decision or decided not to take it at all, we can see the effects. You see what's happening in Sweden and what happened in Italy and what is happening in the US right now. I think it was a decision that had to be taken. So we can argue about the timing. I don't think it will assist us.
Apiwe, let me come to you, my brother. So, okay, as Mr. Shobert puts it, there was no other way but to go this particular route of the lockdown. But there's been a rather harsh criticism on regulations, not entirely, but some of the regulations. And we are now aware that it has even gotten to the courts where a Pretoria High Court judge did slam some of the regulations. If I make an example, for instance, the judge was quite scathing on how you can prevent people from visiting their loved ones when they need them the most, being in a hospital bed because you want to cap the spread of the virus. But once that person has passed away, you then allow people to go and make affidavits to go attend the funeral when, in essence, the person who has died who needed them while in their deathbed doesn't need them anymore. What do you have to say about some of the regulations up here that others believe that were completely unnecessary, so to speak?
Look, there's a lot to talk or to say about regulations broadly. There are ones that don't make sense, especially when we moved from level 5 to level 4 and subsequently level 3. Some of the critics of the regulations have been very harsh on government. And even if you take that logic being used by the High Court, it doesn't make sense to me, some of the arguments that are made there. And I don't want to appear as if I'm slamming the judiciary, but I don't know how the judge applied their mind before making that judgment. But set that aside, there has been a lot to say about alcohol. There's been a lot to say about cigarettes. Look, it's difficult when you have to weigh between saving lives and keeping the economy going and making people who are locked up in their houses basically happy, because people get frustrated. I was making this example earlier that working from home is so frustrating that when you are done at 5 p.m., your body normally, you start to leave office, right? But there's not such now because there's nothing you can do outside. It's locked. So that is frustrating. But some of the regulations about clothing items, for instance, I thought they were ridiculous. When they opened for winter clothing, so you couldn't buy a T-shirt. It's crazy that people don't think that you should be able to buy a T-shirt that you would wear underneath any winter garment. I think some of the ministers, when they were making the regulations, they treat us like we're children. Like, I don't know, like we can't think reasonably. That's my take on the regulations themselves. But I mean, on level 3, for instance, it doesn't make sense for me to say that I can go to church with less than 50 people, but I can't go to my aunt's house where there's 3 people. It really doesn't make sense. So those are the ridiculous decisions that they've made. But a lot of the critics of government during this time, they take those silly mistakes and bash government a lot. When you criticize and when you take it in, you must find a balanced view. I think our government has done pretty well compared to other first world countries Shoba was mentioning the U.S. The U.S. has been terrible at handling this virus, the conspiracies that are out there and so on. So, I mean, we've done fairly well. We've done fairly well.
Now, with regards to the entirety of government's handling of this issue, as you put it, Piwe, on the regulations, there's been contradictions among ministers in the briefings that we've become accustomed to. Every time there's going to be new regulations, there would be ministers in the same press briefing who contradict each other. Of course, the lockdown hasn't been without casualties. We do know that very early on in the lockdown, there was one minister, Stella Ndabeni Abrahams, who was suspended, but that was not because of her performance in government, but rather on her breaching the regulation on not to gather for lunch with friends and stuff like that. But let us just focus to the performance of ministers in particular. And President Cyril Ramaphosa did acknowledge some of these contradictions in one of his addresses. They say what he had to say about the contradictions.
There may have been times when we have fallen short of your expectations. Some of the actions we have taken have been unclear. Some have been contradictory. And some have been poorly explained. And some have evoked a lot of anger and opposition in all of you, in many of you rather. Implementation has sometimes been slow, and enforcement has sometimes been inconsistent and too harsh. This evening, I want to reaffirm my commitment and the commitment of the government that I lead to take whatever action is necessary to safeguard the life, the dignity, and the interests of the people of our country.
That's President Cyril Ramaphosa. It's not every day that you hear a politician taking responsibility for shortcomings, but indeed, President Cyril Ramaphosa did take some here, although he is not directly involved because he is not a minister. All he does is to announce the overall regulations, and it's the ministers who are involved in the implementation or the communication of the individual regulations. Mr. Shoba, do you believe that with regards to the contradiction and the unclear communication and the unclear slow implementation, at some times, do you believe that some of these things, as President Cyril Ramaphosa acknowledges, should have, you know, resulted to some of the ministers being fired?
Not necessarily. I think what was missing was a proper communication strategy. At the beginning of the national lockdown, we all thought that they had centralized communication to the office of the Minister of Health, who was very articulate and spoke with authority on the disease and the pandemic and its spread and what government is trying to do. It all went down south when they called these cluster briefings, when the ministers took turns to contradict each other. And with hindsight, that shouldn't have happened. I think government should have stuck with an approach that says, let's have one spokesperson on this matter. And that person should have been the Minister of Health. We know that Minister Dlamini Zuma is responsible for the Disaster Management Act, but really they should have centralized communication. And I think had they done that, we wouldn't found ourselves in a situation where we're receiving contradicting messages. And government has really acknowledged those mistakes, and as well as the ANC and its alliance. They've gone through that process of analyzing what went wrong and what went right, and they acknowledged that some of the things that happened shouldn't have happened. The contradictions, the use of brutal force by the police, the situations where PPEs disappear, the situations where food parcels are supposed to be distributed to the poor, don't reach those people who need those food parcels the most. The slow process of the processing applications in the UIF system. So they've acknowledged all those mistakes, and they are promising that they are working on fixing them. But really, we did expect, unless someone was living under a rock, you wouldn't expect mistakes if you are living under a rock. But we did expect that there might be mistakes because it's happening for the first time and everyone is learning as we go. And without a proper communication strategy, these mistakes take place.
As our political editor says, that mistakes are part of life, and I'm sure if we are fair, we would all acknowledge that. But in terms of the performance of individual ministers, Apiwe, if I were to say, give me two to three ministers that you would say have been outstanding in their performance during this lockdown, who would you say those are and what?
Yeah, putting me on the spot here. I think the Minister of Health has done very well. He didn't attempt to politicize the pandemic. And his patience in explanation and calling out wrong information when it was unfashionable to do so, you know, he has done very well. I don't want to rate other ministers. I'll just speak about him. But I will tell you about those who have not done very well. The Minister of Police, for one, he is very overzealous in his approach to policing during this time, asking ridiculous things like people must produce receipts for cigarettes when they are stopped at a roadblock. It's just ridiculous. He saw this as a chance for his ministry to be, I don't know, seen as performing well, whereas when people are not on the streets, obviously there will be less instances of crime. Well, let me not go to Minister Dlamini Zuma, because with her, unfortunately, she has to communicate the message as taken by the collective, so we are told, but we also understand her own stance against tobacco. Time will tell if she was right or not. There is a lot of division over the matter. I think the Minister of Health agrees with her because it's really harmful. But is the ban helpful for the fight against COVID-19? At this stage, I don't think so. I think maybe how she's going about it is not the right way. Yeah, I think let me stop there.
Now, the lockdown matches, it had everyone, rallying behind it at the beginning. Even opposition parties would remember that President Cyril Ramaphosa, before announcing the lockdown, he had a consultation with various stakeholders, being the religious groups, the business sector, but most importantly, all the political parties that are represented in parliament, and all were singing really from the same hymn book about the necessity for the lockdown. And then we know that towards the end of the initial 21-day lockdown, there was a change of strategy when government began to adapt the so-called risk adjusted strategy by saying that now the lockdown will be phased out in stages instead of just lifting it out completely or just getting, continuing with the hard lockdown. That's when everything really began to disintegrate in terms of political parties speaking in one voice. And that's when the likes of DA started disassociating themselves from the unity that had been demonstrated from the political, class, so to speak. Let's hear what John Steenhuisen had to say about the DA's stance as the lockdown moved beyond the 21-day initial lockdown.
The real tragedy playing out here is no longer the coronavirus, but the lockdown itself, because this lockdown is going to cost many more lives than it can possibly save. This is a hard truth to speak, and it's an even harder truth to hear, but it's a truth that must be spoken. We have to end the lockdown crisis, and we have to end it now.
Well, very strong words there from Mr. John Steenhuisen, the interim leader of the DA, talking about really one of the most important issues in the topic, which is about which one is important between saving lives and saving the economy. I mean, according to him, the DA does believe that the lockdown, if it's continued for far too long, it has the potential to completely collapse the economy and thus destroy the livelihoods of people. But I would personally think that it's rather unfair to compare the two, but I think a striking of a balance between the two, also elevating the one against the other, I think is rather irresponsible. But Mr. Shobo, what do you think about the stance of the DA, in particular around the lockdown having the potential to destroy the livelihoods of people much more than the damage that is caused by COVID-19?
I'm not sure if I agree with the leader of the DA entirely, but the DA and other political parties, as you said earlier, were very much in support of the government approach in March when they were consulted. And I think their stance is mostly influenced by a general frustration with the government's approach as it moves along. So it all stems from the poor communication that is happening, the contradictions. And it's not just the DA that is frustrated. Most citizens are frustrated about the decision that government is taking, precisely because they are not well communicated. Look at the decision to ban the sale of tobacco products, for example. One instance, the president says they have lifted the ban, and the following week, the Minister of Cooperative Governance says the ban remains. And you get frustrated. Now you don't know what's happening, who's in charge, who's making the decisions, why these decisions are being made. And the explanations that are given, I think, are not convincing enough for a citizen to accept them as being done in good faith. And I think the stance of political parties as we move along, them now breaking ranks, the DA going to court to challenge the regulations, the AFF coming out to lambast government and in public, I think it's a result of that frustration of not understanding exactly now what are we trying to achieve. We knew what we were trying to achieve back in March, but right now there is that confusion that, like, we are in the dark. Like, we sort of move along as days goes. We don't know really what is it that we are trying to achieve.
Mm. Well, talking about the EFF, let's hear what has been a rather scathing attack on the government is in the lockdown from the EFF leader, Julius Malema.
The EFF strongly demands that government should reconsider the premature, senseless, and reckless reopening of various sectors of the economy and schools until there is a solid scientific basis to do so.
Well, Apiwe, those are very strong words. Your thoughts, please.
Look, at the beginning, I was impressed by how the EFF handled the whole lockdown. They were very supportive and they kept away, not posting unnecessary statements that can rile their supporters and a number of people who relate to them. I get where Julius is coming from because of his understanding maybe of what the lockdown meant, but I think his criticism on government is unfair, that we must stay on level 4 or go back to level 5 is crazy. I remember speaking with one leader who spoke of how passionately Julius spoke about this during the meeting with the president, went as far as saying that he was motivating for the ban of alcohol and cigarettes more than the religious parties, that is Al-Jamaa and the ACDP. And he went on to say he is more religious than a lot of us these days. His understanding of the lockdown and what it's meant to achieve, I think it's limited. But yeah, insofar as the DA is concerned, their stance initially was correct. I liked the way that they produced documents to advise the government based on models that they've studied from abroad and based on their own contributions. But you see, there's a difference between assisting government and being in government. And the issues that they picked and a lot of their public reps, let alone Steenhuisen, they were very petty in some of the issues and some of the fights, and pointing fingers squarely at certain ministers whom they don't like anyway. So it had little to do with their challenge on the regulations, and more to do with their ideological difference with Minister Patel, for instance. Their dislike of NDZ based on whatever that may have transpired. So, yeah, well, other political parties have been very silent. Kolomisa hasn't been that vocal except for his fight in the Eastern Cape. Patricia de Lille and her party, very quiet, and the rest of them.
Oh. My personal views on both the DA and the EFF stance. On the DA, I do want to say that they are not completely wrong by saying there ought to be a balance between the effects or the socio-economic impact that a protracted lockdown would cause on the future and the livelihoods of many South Africans. But also we cannot ignore that we have to take the necessary measures or precautions to make sure that we contain the coronavirus and make, you know, try our level best that it doesn't claim as much fatalities as we've seen in countries like the United States. With the EFF, I think their approach is rather misguided, but we've had some very irresponsible comments from their leader, Julius Malema, saying that, you know, the economy, let the white economy collapse. There seems to be a miss, or rather a deliberate political misunderstanding of the situation at hand on the part of the EFF, because you can't say let the economy collapse and let everyone go poor, we'll start afresh, but let's prioritize the saving of lives. So that's just my 2 cents worth of the two political parties. But generally, I think President Cyril Ramaphosa and his leadership have done fairly well, not without mistakes, of course, mistakes of which I think ought not to be repeated going forward. Gentlemen, as we close, what are your closing remarks? Let's start with Mr. Shaw.
I think the debate that the political parties started is very healthy for our democracy. It's healthy that they put the government on their toes, and it's correct that they point out mistakes. And if those are not deemed to be mistakes as such, by if they take them to court and the court agrees with government, or the court instructs government to amend some of those regulations, I think it's good for us. It's good for us as citizens that we have a government that can be challenged, and that it must put the interest of the citizens first.
Apiwe.
I agree with Shoba on the pointing out of mistakes. And what I liked the most, though, especially around level 5, that when those mistakes have been pointed out by political parties, the government has listened, which is what I think we need going forward, that if there is a good proposal, take it, use it. It doesn't assist us to be stubborn just and not take an idea just because it's coming from an opposition party. I really hope that they take these suggestions and these corrections that they get from opposition and other sectors really and include them going forward, because it makes our country richer.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, that's all we have time for today, our very first podcast since the lockdown, but we'll continue, of course, to monitor the lockdown situation and perhaps post the lockdown and try our level best to unpack the issues on the political front as they happen. Thank you very much, our political editor, Sibonga Gonga Shoba, and our very esteemed political writer, Apiwe de Klerk. And I am your host, Zingisa Mvuvu. Catch us next time. Continue to engage us on the social media platforms with the hashtag #STPoliticsWeekly. You can get our podcast on iono.fm and all other platforms where your pods are casted. Thank you very much, and we'll catch you next time.